Okay, so, you know, among some of the things that I really value about being a Christian and Christian values is the discipline, and it is a discipline of fasting. The discipline of fasting. Having said that, fasting has always been one of my biggest challenges. Often because I fear that I'm going to starve to death, number one. I worry that I'll start something and not be able to finish it, or that I will be distracted by the devil and that he'll make suggestions to me because I'm so vulnerable in that moment. However, I'm always amazed at what God does during that period of fasting and the time after. So it's quite a powerful principle. And, you know, in the future, we are going to have a bit of a preaching around that moving into the next year. But I can imagine that fasting is a challenge for some of us, and I'm not on my own, right? However, there are some people who make fasting look like a piece of cake, right? I'm not one of those people, right? Whatever your experience, I would like to take us on a very short journey this morning around the life of our Lord Jesus, around how he dealt with hunger. How he dealt with hunger, because it's relevant for us this morning. So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. It was really interesting. This, as I was coming up, I was thinking, you know, I feel like I don't need to preach because I feel like the message has already been preached. From what Pastor Charlie talked about, from what Steve spoken about what the worship presented, everything was in there. But because I've prepared, I will share what's there. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. The song said, Spirit lead. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. There are a few key points that I just wish to highlight. The first one being that the tempter always comes. It's in his nature. The tempter always comes. You know, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. As a follower of Jesus, who is led by the Spirit, you and I will have some wilderness experiences and wilderness temptations. Do you agree? He tempted Jesus at a very specific time when Jesus was in an extreme hunger space, if I can call it that, after 40 days and 40 nights of no food. There was a strategy there. It's in his nature for the devil to tempt us during a time when we are most vulnerable. But here's the thing. Whatever you are hungry for, we must stay alert, because that is what the enemy is going to target. Your point of vulnerability. So the question is this. Are you hungry for attention? Are you hungry for recognition? Are you hungry for validation? Are you hungry for purpose? Are you hungry for success? The Bible talks about being vigilant, because it says your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If the devil knows your hunger, he will be looking for an entry point, a doorway, some way of influencing you. But the Bible also said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? For they shall be filled. So what exactly is the enemy after when he comes to tempt us? He's after something. And I have this suggestion based on the scripture we just read. The devil is after your identity, your mind and voice, and your devotion. We see it in the life of Jesus. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He was after his identity. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Not only does he want to instill doubt about God's ability to do the supernatural, but he also wants to dictate how Jesus uses his voice, his words, his authority. And he'll do that with us as well. What I find ironic about this is, in trying to steal, kill, and destroy, because that's what the devil does, he was also working against himself. And we know that the kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. In saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this to do this, I doubt that this was his intention, but this is what he did. He actually reminded Jesus of his rights. He reminds us of our rights, that if you are a child of God, you will be provided for, because God is a provider. I don't think the devil meant to remind us of that, but that's exactly what happens here. In verse 5, we hear that then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. The devil has no problem suggesting that we do extreme things to test God. He got Jesus, he wanted him to go to the highest point in the temple. And he wanted him to throw himself down. I don't know if you've seen some of those shows where people just do, they tempt death. He was getting Jesus to tempt death. Then he tells the Lord Jesus that the reason why he should do this insane act is because God will come to the rescue. I doubt once again that this was his intention, but he also within that spoke about God's protection, because God protects his own. He watches over you and I. However, embedded within all of this, I see manipulation. There's a manipulation that comes with that, because essentially, the devil was asking this question, does God really love you? He says, go up there. I just want you to imagine, go up where those poles are, and then just throw yourself on the ground. Does God really love you? Because if God loves you, he will send his angels to come and rescue you. Test him. Do something intentionally to test his love for you. And I believe that that's what the devil does even in our own lives. There's circumstances where he'll do things to get us to just do things to test God. I remember many, many years ago, before I got married, and I was praying, and I sensed in my spirit these words, stop manipulating my son with your tears. And I thought, whoa, where did that come from? Because what was happening was, this is while I was with Pastor Stephen, not married yet, but whenever I got upset, I'd cry. And I cried because I was upset. I didn't think anything of it. But in that moment, God was saying, there's actually something deeper going on there. You think you're just crying tears, but there's a manipulation that comes with that. And, you know, after that moment, obviously, I repented of that. It was never my intention. But because God exposed it, it changed the way that I interacted, not just with God, but, you know, with Pastor Stephen. So there is a manipulative spirit that the devil uses. And quite often we may not be aware of it until, of course, God himself exposes it. The next thing is that the devil is after your mind. Because when he says to do something as extreme as that, he's basically asking you to do something that is irrational. In your right mind, you wouldn't do something like that because you know it's dangerous. But he's after your thinking. It also tells us in verse 8 that the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this is what it says. All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. The devil will always appeal to what he thinks are our insatiable appetites. He will offer you and I what he thinks we value as success on the condition that we betray who our submission belongs to. He's after our devotion and our worship. On all accounts, on all temptations that the Lord Jesus was presented with, he only had one thing to say. It is written. Living on every word. As followers of Christ, it's essential that we are living on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus responded with, it is written. Men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was essentially saying, it's not about your stomach. It's not about filling your appetites. There's more to life than indulging your senses. And I believe this is why fasting is important, hard as it can be, because it serves as a reminder. Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We must watch the demands that we make of God. We must not intentionally do what is foolish or ridiculous and expect God to come to the rescue because he is our Father. The Bible tells us that God cannot be mocked, that we will reap what we sow. There are consequences to our actions. We don't get to do as we wish and expect God to reverse the process on our behalf. Lastly, it says, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. When the tempter comes, we must have the word in us. The interesting thing is the devil also knows the word. He knows it very well. The difference is the devil twists the word to suit him. I want to finish off with this before I get into a time of prayer. The whole purpose of this morning for me is about prayer. So I want to talk about beauty, what I call beauty in a parched land. That's a beautiful flower, isn't it? I took that picture. That was in Port Hedland. A friend of mine came to visit me and she said, I've got a present for you. It was my birthday. She was very excited. And she brought this and she said to me, this is a desert rose. And she said, they are resilient, just like us. They are resilient, just like us. And that took me back to a vision I'd had years before. And in this vision, I saw dry land, parched land. There was nothing. And then out of nowhere, I saw another picture in that dryness, and it was flowers. And I heard the words, desert flowers. And I'd never heard that phrase before. I didn't even know such things existed. And that seemed to me like an oxymoron. Two completely contrasting ideas. How could you have something existing contrary to the hopelessness of the environment. It didn't make sense to me. How could they be flowers in such conditions, extremely dry and desert-like? In the story that we've just gone through with the Lord Jesus Christ and the temptations, we have a man who finds himself in unfavorable conditions, harsh conditions. He was extremely hungry. I think after 2 days, I'll probably faint. 40 days and 40 nights. So we can guess that he's extremely hungry, right? We can guess that he was probably thirsty, hot, physically exhausted. And yet he survived. And I'm assuming he eventually thrived. Because it says that then, after the devil did all these temptations and Jesus responded to him, it says the devil left him. And then angels came and attended him. He was attended to by angels. And so he ends up being beauty in a parched land. In the last few weeks, we have heard that we were created for good works. We have also heard that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Today we heard that our identity, our mind, our voice, our devotions are a target of the enemy. He is after feeding our hunger. Not for our own good, but away from the will and purpose of God in our lives. So I'm very conscious of time this morning. However, I'm also very conscious of what I feel God wants to do. There are specific areas that I really want to pray into this morning. And I'm going to call them out. And what I want to do is stick with this idea of beauty in a parched land. Because I really believe that there are people this morning that even though you are in church, you're in a place that is very dry. And you can't see anything. You can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. But there is beauty in a parched land. We just saw it there in the life of Christ. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Lord Jesus was talking not just about the word. You know, someone says in the Bible that you search the scriptures. You search the words because you think in them is eternal life. The devil was able to recite scripture. He was able to say it is written. The same way the Lord Jesus was able to say it is written. But the difference is that Jesus Christ himself is the word. He wasn't just saying words for the sake of it. The power is in him. So this morning, as we come up for prayer, I really want to pray over the idea or the experience of desert places. That's the first thing. Sorry, desert spaces. People who feel dry, feel empty, but in particular, people who feel lonely. The thing about loneliness is you can hide it with a smile, right? People can just look at you and see your smile, but they'll never know the loneliness that you experience, even in church. But this issue of loneliness is huge, and the devil uses it to distract us. So I'd like to pray for desert spaces. Secondly, I would like to pray for people who want to repent from ungodly testings of God. That will have different meanings for different people. But if you've ever found yourself testing God just to prove that he loves you, repentance from ungodly testings of God. Thirdly, I'd like to pray for people who want that hunger for the word of God. Because there are many things we can get hungry for, but not necessarily hunger. Reading the Bible doesn't prove that I am hungry for the word of God. So if that's something that you really want prayer around, I'd like to pray for that. I'd also like to pray for people who would like to use their authority, or they would like to walk in the authority of the voice that God has given them. We've all been given a different voice. We all sound different. Some people sound very similar. Family members sound very similar. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between my son and my husband because their voices sound very similar. But we all have a unique voice. We have a unique voice for our workplace. We have a unique voice for where we are in the family. We have a unique voice within the church. We have a unique voice within the city, the town that we live in. We have a unique voice in the country that we live in. So if you need prayer around your voice. Next, I would like to pray for people who know that there's been perversion of speech, where your words have not been used to glorify God. It's very easy to pervert speech. So you would know what that looks like. I'm almost there. I would like to also pray for divided loyalties. You see, the devil wanted to give the Lord Jesus what he thought would appeal to him. He says, I will give you all the kingdoms and the splendor in exchange for your submission. And so sometimes we have divided loyalties. We believe in God. We come to church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but we have divided loyalties. You see, these days, especially in this side of the world, we don't necessarily have idols that we worship. But an idol doesn't have to be physical in nature. So if you sense that there is somewhere there where your loyalties are divided, you love God, you believe in Christ, but there's just something else that pulls you, pulls at your heartstrings, I'd like to pray for that. And lastly, and I feel most importantly this morning, I would like to pray for the imposter syndrome. Who's heard about the imposter syndrome? I saw the hand up there very quickly. Was that a mistake? The imposter syndrome. Many people feel like they are fake. They feel like they should not be where they are. Whether it's in your work or your family or even in the church, as a Christian, as a child of God. But you see, this one is most important to me right now because it's at the heart of what we're seeing happening here. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, he was challenging Christ's identity, the sense of security that comes with knowing who you truly are. Imposter syndrome. Some people feel fake. They feel like they don't belong. So I'd like to pray for those issues. If you have any other issues that I've not mentioned but you need prayer, we can do that as well. But I just get you to stand up. I think we've got anointing oil somewhere. I'm just opening up the line. We're just going to pray. If you sense any of those things are a need for you, please do come up. But first, I just want to pray. Let's just close our eyes. And feel free to come once I'm done. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a good God. We thank you, Father, that you are merciful. We thank you, Father, that our identity is in you, Lord. We thank you that our voice belongs to you, our words belong to you, our submission belongs to you. I pray this morning, Father, that as we've heard these words, Father, that they would move us, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to just touch us. I pray, Father, for everyone this morning whose ears are blocked to be opened, whose eyes are closed to be opened. We thank you, Father, for a fresh vision. We thank you for fresh anointing. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, everyone has got a need this morning. And I just pray, Father, that you would meet us at our point of need. Lord, I pray against any weapon formed against us. Any weapon formed against us, for it shall not prosper. We know that the devil will form weapons. He will do it because it's in his nature. But it shall not prosper. We thank you, God, that you are faithful. That you are good, you are merciful. We thank you, Father, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Father, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, we give you praise and we give you honor, for you alone are worthy. We thank you, Father, for the cross at Calvary. We thank you, Father, that by his stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us. We thank you, Father, for your word that says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, I pray for your people this morning. And I pray, Father, that you may touch everyone at their point of need. Father, you know the things that are going through people's hearts. You know the things that are going on in people's families. You know, Father, people who want to give up. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful. And I just pray, Father, against the spirit of helplessness. I pray against the spirit of hopelessness, oh God. I pray, Father, against the spirit of discouragement, oh God. I pray, Father, for people who want to give up, oh God. I pray for people this morning who came in, Lord Jesus, and say, I'll just go to church this morning, but I don't know what it's going to do. I thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, for servanthood. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh, Jesus, if you know how to pray in tongues, I ask that you do that right now, because we want to break something in the spirit realm. We want to break something. We thank you, Father, that you said we will be given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We thank you, Father, that we have authority. And I pray this morning, Father, that everyone who's been given that authority, Father, may walk tall. God wants to change the way that you walk. God wants to change the way that you talk. God wants to change the way that you stand. God is faithful. Father, I thank you for every gift that's represented this morning. I pray, Father, that the children of God will start using their gifts. Oh, Jesus, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Father, I just pray, Father, for that imposter syndrome, Father. Oh, that imposter syndrome that tries to overshadow people's minds. The imposter syndrome that says, you don't belong here. Oh, you don't belong here. Oh, Father, Jesus. The imposter syndrome is going to stop you from walking your destiny. So I just want to open up the floor this morning. If you need prayer, keep praying, people. Don't stop. Keep praying. If you need prayer in any of those issues, just come up. Because God wants to do something. It's not about the person standing next to you. It's about you. God wants to have a conversation with you. God wants to have an encounter with you, not with the person next to you. You're the only one who knows what's really going on in your heart. God is faithful. God is not a man that he should lie. God, you are good. If you can pray in tongues, please just pray, because we need to break something. Because the enemy, like, looks whom he may devour. He looks whom he may devour. Right now, you've got thoughts going on in your mind. And there's a voice saying, don't go up there. There's a voice saying, you're going to embarrass yourself. There's a voice that says, somebody's going to be looking at you. That's not the time for this. That's a tactic of the enemy. God wants intimacy with his children. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. His mercy, he says, his mercies are new this morning. His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can I just get some? Jesus, we exalt you. Roshia rabo shala rabo sianda rababa. Roshia raba siero kielara. Oh, rabo shikororo sitara bababa. Shirobo sianda rabo kilara. Power from on high. Oh, there's power from on high. Come on, church. Power from on high. God is good and his mercy endures. God is good and his mercy endures. Oh, rabo sheko rabo siara kindaraba. Roko toro shiandarabo si karabo si kararara. Even if you don't understand what's going on, God is speaking to you. God wants to do a new thing. God says, behold, I do a new thing. Can you perceive it? Oh, rabo shi karabo soto rabo si karabo shi larara. Open up your heart. Open up your minds. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Oh, Roshikara. Keep praying, church. Roshikara.